Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter with Prepare for College. Again, that's prepare, the number four, college.com. And here at Prepare for College, what our driving force is trying to get good information into the hands of families so they can understand the college process. Today, we're going to talk about item number six in a list of 12 items for college. And this item is going to be called Selecting a College. And we have Chuck Moore, who's going to be with us, and Al Hoffman speaking on the topic. So, guys, I'm going to pass it over to you right now.
So, there's two vantage points to selecting a college. One of them we shared with you last week, but it bears repeating because it's actually one of the more important ones. And Chuck did a great job on that last week, the last podcast that we did. So, Chuck, I'm going to turn this over to you, and then I'm going to go at it from a statistical standpoint later on. So from a coaching standpoint, what do you say to clients on how to select a college?
Well, one of the things that I have seen with many, many parents, they're selecting a particular college really in the wrong way. You know, and a lot of times these families will come back in and the student says, I want to go here or whatever. And then the parents accept it and they go with the suggestions that the student basically are giving them. And this is almost like getting financial advice from an 18-year-old, which you definitely do not want to do. And so I normally will sit down with the families and I'll go over several questions of asking the individual student. And those questions, first one is I ask them, why do they want to go to college? And a lot of them will come back in and say, well, I've been told I have to go to college to make a good income. Or I want to go to college because all my friends are going. Or I want to go to college to get away from mom and dad. And things along those lines. They do not give a real adult answer to the question. And once they give that answer to that question, I ask them, what college do you want to attend and why? And here you're going to get all kinds of answers. From the students, they'll come in and say, I want to go to XYZ college because that's where all my friends are going. Or I want to go to XYZ college because they got a good football or basketball team. They never give you a good solid reason why they want to go to a particular college. So the next question I come in with is, what major do you want to pursue and why? And a lot of them will come in and say, well, mom and dad wants me to major in XYZ. Or I've been told that I would do good in this field of endeavor. Or I'm interested in women's studies. Things along those lines. And they do not give a real good reason of selecting a particular career and whether or not that career is actually taught at the colleges that they want to go to begin with. Because right now with colleges, a lot of them are finding major problems in different financial era of running the college or the universities. They're cutting a lot of the majors out. And you're going to see this more and more as time goes on. Now, the last question I ask them, is money a major concern during the time you're going to college and after you get your degree? And 80% of the students are going to come back in and say, no, money isn't a major matter to me. They don't take in consideration any debt that they could possibly get into. Of paying for college. They have no idea of where the money's going to come from to pay for either all or a portion of the education. And they leave that up to mom and dad. They do not look at it on a financial standpoint. They don't know whether or not mom and dad are going to have to borrow the money or whether or not mom and dad have basically saved some money up. So those are the four questions that I go over with the students. And when it comes down to selecting a particular college, whenever they make a college visit, for example, they'll be stuck with an individual student that's going to give them what is called a campus tour. Now, these individual students are basically paid in some way or another to get a group of kids, and they're either juniors or seniors in college, to give them campus tours. And they're going to show them all the good things about the university. Very seldom are they going to talk about academics or or different type of degree programs. They're going to show them the climbing walls, the 50-person hot tub, and all the recreational centers, and how good the dorm looks, and all of this other stuff. And it really persuades a student of saying, hey, this is exactly what I want here. And a lot of them, believe it or not, whenever they go off to college, they're going to be living in an atmosphere, in some situations, a lot more lavishly than what they're actually growing up in. And so they'll select different colleges on these standpoints. So that's where I go, and then I start asking the individual parents, and I excuse a student at that particular time. They can go and watch TV or whatever they want to do. And then I'll ask the parents, what did you think about the answers that your student gave on these four particular questions? And are you willing to go ahead and shove out, over a 4 to a 6 year period of time or longer, over $100,000 based off the answers that the student basically gave you? And it really shocks the parents, and it starts making them feel like, well, are we willing to invest this amount of money to where a kid or child or student is not really focused on the main reasons of why they want to go to college? So it really opens up the conversation and the selection of a particular college. And it really brings it up to a forefront. So that's the way that I introduce the family of selecting a college or a university.
Wow, very, very good, Chuck. There's a lot of good questions in there, but the last one you brought up was kind of a nice and beautiful segue to how I add to that in the form of selecting a college. And I like to tell people to select their college logically first and emotionally second. You're coaching them on some good reasons to consider that perspective, but I'm going to go into now on how I would finish that job with selecting a college based on the stats. These stats are posted pretty much everywhere. I mean, College Board has them, U.S. News and World Report, the College Navigator, Department of Education's College Search Engine. These stats that I'm going to mention here are they're posted, and you can get these. Now, in certain situations, if you would hire a professional, you might find that they have a program for this. And for instance, I do have a program for this. But I'm going to go over the stats that you can create your own Excel spreadsheet and do this. It'll take you a lot of time, and that is where you might find that hiring a professional would be worthwhile. Now, remember, these 12 steps on the college process that we've been laying out on our last few podcasts and a few podcasts to come, we're right in the middle with number six, and that's select a college. So select a college is one of the areas that I do believe you need a professional to help you out. It's not an absolute necessity, but it is going to save you quite a bit of time. All right, so how would I select a college on the stats? Well, first of all, I want to see where the college is teaching to. So in the researching out there that you can get with College Board, et cetera, you'll find that all the colleges like to list their last year's freshman classes' standardized test scores. A tier one college will most likely be in that range of a higher scores, and a tier two college will be in the range of the middle, and tier three will be on the lower side. So it's not going to be hard to understand that if I go to UPenn, one of the Ivies, that everybody there is going to be a brainiac. And they're all going to be exceptional students with a high academic caliber. And it's going to be hard to get in because of that. All of the people that want to get into the elites and the elite wannabe colleges like MIT and Stanford. And if you go down, and I'm not going to mention a name because I don't want to discredit anybody, but if you go down to a maybe a in-state state college, regional state college system, that middle 50% is going to be substantially lower. So let me just give you one, and again, no names, but let's say the middle 50% is 24 to 29 on the ACT. So 24 to 29 means that a fourth of the students are less than 24, a fourth of the students are greater than 29, and the middle 50% are between those two numbers. Now, that is a way, it's a barometer, it's a way to select a college based on where they're teaching to. It's interesting. In high school, you get to bloom where you're planted, but in college, you get to pick it. So I advise you to pick a place where you will excel. Give yourself a little bit of a head start and then kick it into high gear and take it all the way and graduate at the top of the class. So that's that first thing I would look is the middle 50%. Trying to be more closer to the top of that than obviously to the bottom. Now, it doesn't mean you can't go to the bottom fourth. As a matter of fact, some people flip that switch in college and they turn from a 2.8 in high school to a 3.8 in college. I understand that. That is not the norm. The norm is that that college is going to teach to a certain level. And if you pick a level that you can excel, you will retain more, your confidence and self-esteem will be higher, et cetera, all the way across the board. It's better. So selecting a college based on that first point, and that is middle 50%. Number two, acceptance rate. If I have a list of colleges that I've narrowed down to, and all of them have acceptance rate less than 20%, then I have an 80% chance of not going anywhere. That's, and you know, you can say, well, surely I'll be accepted. No, you can't say that. You need to have a little bit of common sense here, and that is to go ahead and shoot for the moon. I have this little colloquial thing I bring to you from Midwest. Shoot for the moon, bag the pheasant, don't eat crow. Ever heard that one, Chuck? Shoot for the moon, bag the pheasant, don't eat crow. So shoot for the moon. I don't have your list. If your entire list is shooting for the moon, you might have a problem. So acceptance rate, and that is to mix it up. Make sure that you have some privates, some publics, and that you have acceptance rates that could be very, very low, and acceptance rates that it could be very, very high. Okay, the third thing is the percentage of need met. I can't tell you guys, gosh, so many parents and students for that matter believe that if I get accepted, they're going to make sure that I can afford to go. No. It doesn't work that way. Colleges are businesses and they have to pay bills and they're going to invest in some students and they're not going to invest in others. It's just the way it is. So the average then is something you want to look at. This number is posted. If the average need met at a school is only 30%, then we have a problem. Again, need is cost of attendance minus your student aid index. Remember our very first step in this? What is my SAI? That's why it's important. Cost of attendance minus SAI. Let's throw some numbers on this. $30,000 cost of attendance. That's everything. Tuition, room, board, everything. And then $20,000 SAI. That means you have $10,000 worth of demonstrated need. And then the college is compelled, from a competition standpoint, to meet that need at a higher level than somebody else's college on your list. But if a college only meets 30%, then you can expect to get $3,000 from that college. You say, well, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Stop, Al. Where's the other seven come from? You. That's my point. Okay, so you want to have a college where the percentage you need met is pretty high. 70, 75, 80%. Again, that stat is posted on all the places. And the last big one, well, not the the next big one is merit aid, average merit aid. So if you are a student in the top fourth of a class based on last year's freshman classes standardized test scores, remember the middle 50%? If you are in the top fourth, you have a strong chance of being given and offered a merit scholarship. It'll read something like this. Here's $24,000 a year, renewable every year upon maintaining a 3.4 GPA in college. So if you maintain a 3.4 GPA, you're going to get $24,000 every year. That is $96,000 rewarding you for your efforts in high school. Now, granted, colleges are in the 70s and 80s these days. So 24,000 kind of brings it down to about 5,000 more, 10,000 more tops than an in-state state college. So it now looks better to find that college that's going to average give out more merit aid and the percentage of the students that are getting it. So that's the next one. And retention is the last one. Retention, if a college retention rate is only 50%, then that's not very good. If you want to pick a college that's get a good retention rate, I would shoot for something greater than 75% retention. The retention is the number of freshmen that came back to be sophomores. Okay. So those five things you can use as stats to pick your college. And if you put all of those five into one Excel spreadsheet, you can confidently say you've got the right college for the right reasons. And then you link it up with the counseling things that Chuck made apparent to you. And you then have an excellent way to select your college. But I'm going to close with this. This is one of those areas where I think a pro can help you save quite a bit of money, helping you find that college and so that you don't have to do all that statistical work. But picking your college logically first, and then, as Chuck mentioned, you're going to do the famous road trip and go out and visit those campuses and physically visit those campuses. So those are the things that I look at on selecting a college. And it's more of an affordability. All those are affordability issues, really. And that was the last thing that Chuck brought up on his 4 points, his questions, affordability. So that's the coaching and statistical way to select a college. Chuck, Gary, did that bring up any questions that I can answer specifically?
Not that I
No,
had
that
now.
go ahead, Gary.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank both of you. This was very informative, and I'm sure it's helped our families understand a little bit more about the college process. This podcast is being recorded. It will be up on our website here shortly. Again, you can go to prepareforcollege.com, and that's prepare the number four college.com. Next week, we're going to have session number 7 out of the 12 here. Al, what is session number 7? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Not a problem. College visitations. Yeah, we're going to talk about how to do a college visitation. And Chuck actually mentioned some of those things as well. So we'll have you repeat those as well, Chuck, on the next one, which is the really critical. It's absolutely a necessity, if entirely possible, to visit campus, physically visit the campus, not just on a website or video. But physically visit the campus and ask good questions. We'll talk about that next week.
And I got to tell you, that was one of the most enjoyable parts of my college process with my son. It opened my
Visiting.
mind
Yeah.
quite a bit. So, as we close here, I just want to mention that if you have friends who have children about to go to college, they're having some questions, please share our podcast with them. I'm sure it can be some help. But in the meantime, have a good week. Enjoy yourself. And we'll see you next week when we do item number 7 on college visitations. Thanks, Al. Thanks, Chuck. Goodbye now, everyone.